This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.
Cheryl Pyle.
Here.
Jane Lister.
Here.
Janine Gibbons.
Here.
Casey Evans.
Here.
Great, we have a full board. Let's rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve November 14th, 2017 agenda.
All right, moved by Sarah Holmgren. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Jay Lister. Any discussion? All right, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. All right, so today we have a student presentation. It'll be the career and personal finance presentation by our students and their wonderful teacher, Jim Engel. Please take the floor.
Up on the TV is a sample of the course content we're using in careers class. Careers class was added about 5 years ago. It was out of the schedule for a number of years, and then added back in. I think we're on our fifth year, and one of the things we've been trying to do is add more financial literacy into the class, and ran across two different free websites that are designed for high school and middle school curriculum that we started using. This one we started using about 4 years ago, I think it was, and you can see there on the left hand column is the high school college course content that our students are working through. Most of the students this year have already finished the content, and we'll talk about the middle school one in a second here. The pre-test is what the kids start off with, and then they start working through these individual modules that are 10 questions. We're going to show you a sample of that in a second. Josh Tinas is going to show you a sample of it, and Courtney Fredrickson is going to talk about a little bit about the modules here. But you can see they walk through basic concepts that we would hope that our students are going to know by the time they graduate from high school and enter into the real world. And we know that we know from the statistics that far too many students around the country are financially illiterate. And those of us who are my age know that there was nothing like this in high school when we were in high school. Unless you took like a home ec class or an economics class, there's not much. So it was kind of left up, if you had parents that taught it to you, great. It was kind of left up to us to figure it out. So it really is a pretty robust program. I'm not going to say much more about it. I'll let them show you it and then talk about how it works. But you can see they just go through. The whole goal is not for them to become this, you know, this perfect accountant or whatever. The goal is for them to just be to have the literacy down, so that they know what APR is, so that they know what short-term investment possibilities are, so that they know what a checkbook is even. So that's what that does. It ends with a post-test, and the post-test is 36 questions that are randomly selected from the 36 modules. And I do want to show one thing before we move on with that. This is, I know it's probably hard to see there. Apologize for the, I make this much bigger. This is the column on the pretest. This is just the pretest scores. You can see our average was 55%. Our post-test scores are averaging about 89%. So we just see tremendous progress through the whole thing, and I just listening to them talk and what we see in one of the other programs we're looking at. Just they are becoming financial literate, which is very exciting. We have 13, I think, in that class this year. Yeah, 13. And they'll, like I said, they're going to show that in a second. The other thing I want to show is another, by the way, this is in this course content, there's also middle school, and Rick Brock and I are talking about how he can maybe incorporate that into the middle school 8th grade math, just maybe one a week for them to work on. They take a pretest, and then there's 12 modules that they've worked through so that they can begin the literacy process there. Again, this is completely free. There are tens of thousands of high school students across the country that are using this. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of schools that are using this. It's very robust, and like I said, it's free, which we like. The other one that I just added this year is H&R Block Budget Challenge, and Abby Hardy's going to talk to that in a second here. This is a real-world scenario that they take part in. We started ours on October 5th, and it ends December 14th. And you can see there, it's again just kind of putting into action the financial literacy side of things. They get the exposure to real-life situations. It's free, which we like. It's teacher-tested online simulation tool, replicates real-world budgeting and personal finance decision-making by simulating an adult's financial life, paying bills, investing in retirement, managing loans, and more. Students take a personal finance road test, so they get to make mistakes without it costing them in the real world. So, and then there's the goal. Through exposure to real-life personal finance situations, the H&R Block Budget Challenge equips teens with the skills, habits, and confidence to manage their money more wisely. And so we are in the middle of that right now, and I just want to show you, it's kind of fun. This is what I get on my side of it. I know it's really hard to see there with small print. But this is the leaderboard, and the kids all see this. It's becoming a competition. You know, I can see how they get their points. I can see what they've done with their money. They can take surveys. They can take quizzes. That adds points to that. And you can see right now, Abby Hardy has led this since day one, and Charlie Christensen is within 2 points of her right now. So it's actually, it's kind of fun to listen. They maybe a little bit of financial trash talking. In that, they have a lot of choices, and including like what percent they're going to put in their 401k. The more money they put in their 401k, the more points they get. Things like that. They get docked for late payments. They get docked for a percentage of their credit utilization. Things like that. Mm-hmm. So they have to work on making paying their checks. There's a spreadsheet that they can actually use that actually allows them to completely budget out so they know. And so what I've seen is a lot of the kids after the first 4 weeks have dramatically raised their 401k because they realized they had more money than they thought they had. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to do the money skills first. So I'm going to let Josh connect to the Apple TV, and maybe Josh and Courtney can come up here and talk. Courtney will talk a little bit about it. And Josh is just going to show you a couple sample questions from one of the first module that we take. Mm-hmm.
Like Mr. Engel was saying, you have what's called modules, and they're pretty much just chapters of different, you know, lessons of, you know, finance you learn throughout this program. Like for instance here, the main chapter is over health insurance. Each one of these chapters, they have a brief overview of what you're going to learn. You know, these are the main topics that are going to be hit within this chapter. And then at the start of every lesson.
If we get very sick, it can be very expensive. This is part of the reason why.
You have someone.
Kind of annoying.
Yeah.
We usually just read it. You don't listen.
Everybody has their playing, and then it's like, you know.
We'll just read it.
Yeah.
You have, you know, a situation that, I don't know.
It's just kind of like, the first question, it'll give you information. Then you'll have a question based on the information that you just read, and then there's 10 questions exactly like that. So the next question, you'll have information that you'll read, and then you'll have a question after that.
Yeah.
Are they like scenarios then?
Yeah.
Okay. Either a scenario, or it'll give you like information about a 401k, and then you have to answer a question about what a 401k, how much you put in, and stuff like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So then, you know, this question would be, I mean, it involved that previous scenario. What's nice about the questions is, like, you can, you know, say you get it wrong. It'll have an explanation of, you know, why you got it wrong and stuff like that.
So, like, if you were to have a huge math problem or something and you didn't know how to do it, and if you got it wrong, at the bottom it'll take you through all the steps on how to do it. So when you retake it, you know how to do. Because it'll change. It's like they keep the questions the same throughout the module. So when you retake it, all the questions are like almost exactly the same. But sometimes they'll change the numbers. So in math problems, you can like it'll change the numbers, and then you'll actually have to go through the whole process instead of remembering all the answers.
Mm-hmm. We require them to master 70% on it. So if they don't, it automatically kicks them back to the retake, and then they can continue to take the modules and as long as they want, you get a score that they want. So,
I kind of wrote some out, just kind of summarizing it and why I think it'd be pretty useful for the school. I think Money Skills is a pretty powerful program. It teaches finance and gives, you know, the students involved with it a glimpse into the responsibilities that are required in becoming an adult. Gives a future planning, budgeting, investments, loans, and more covered within the course. By immersing students in the program, they will acquire basic understandings of the financial world. They will give future and current students a jumpstart in the financial world and make the transition in, you know, like in, you know, not knowing anything and knowing something a little better and less troublesome. Money Skills, in my opinion, is a course that should be introduced as well as accessible by, you know, a lot, you know, the entire student body here. I think the insight that the program has to offer is, you know, pretty beneficial to the student's path of becoming an adult. So, I mean, I think it's a pretty powerful program. Yeah, it's helped quite a bit. I mean, you can see in the test scores, the post test scores, there's improvement in everybody. So, yeah, it's good.
So Abby's going to talk about the budget challenge.
That's great.
Okay, so this is like the home that you'd see on your student page once you log in, and it just kind of gives you the rank that you're at for simulation standings, and like the percent that is below you for people under you, and this number is based on how much you have in your 401k, which is like your points that you start with throughout this whole thing, and you start out with $3,000, I believe. And there's surveys and quizzes that open, and you can take them or not take them. They only benefit you to take them because they help add scores to your 401k, and they talk about, they give you real world ready questions, such as talking about your credit or about cash flow or budgeting, and they give you scenarios kind of like the modules do. But these surveys don't diminish your score if you get them wrong. So, and it also, however many you get right on here also affects your score in the sense of real-world readiness, which is under this tab. Because the way the H&R Block Budget Challenge kind of quizzes you is on these three platforms. In, like, engagement, your survey points, and your leaderboard. And what's cool about Budget Challenge is, like, you can see your list within your class of, like, your class that you are not really up against, but that you're compared to. And there's also one that's based on, like, whoever's taking the simulation during, like, October 5th through December 14th. And then that's down here on your simulation rank and, like, the percentile that's below you. And there's actually a chance for a scholarship from this if you're in, like, within the top 95% or 98%, and depending on how much you engage in this as well. So this chart shows just how on average, like, the people in the money skills, I mean, sorry, H&R Block use this, and like their scores, and then here's, this one would be mine. And then this is what Mr. Engel had showed you. And it shows you your savings, like your 401k contribution, to your fees. And your fees are what knock you down points. And they give it all in charts, and they kind of just lay it out for you here, so it's real nice and easy to see. And when you sign up for H&R Block Budget Challenge, you get to choose vendors. So you have different choices for cable, your cell phone, credit card, and even different types of banks and 401ks that you can use. We haven't done tax filing yet, but I think that comes in later in the simulation. But in your bank is where you pay your bills of the vendors you chose at the very beginning. And so you would select one of the vendors that you have here. And they give you alerts up here in your dashboard alerts, and they also send you an email when you have a bill that's due or any other, like, let's say, credit card penalty because you're over $500 on your credit card. And you would just press this, and you would fill out a check by putting the date, and then you'd fill it out, and then you'd put a memo for whatever it would be. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice because you just see it all laid out, and here's, like, the activity and how much you have. And then these are, like, your pending checks. So it also kind of gets you ready for time managing on these because your checks don't go in until 2 days after you write it and press pay bill. And in the vendors, like, we just recently had a utility bill, I think. They give you just, like, invoices, and they give you your due date here and, you know, your bill amount and when it starts. So everything's laid out for you. You just have to keep track of it. And I think that's, I think, the more challenge part of it is that you have to keep up with all these different platforms. But things such as, like, the student loan, it's chosen for you. Like, you didn't get a choice in your vendors. This was what everyone had to do. And so it's just kind of laid out for you, and it gives you, like, this whole chart that just shows, like, your year period and, like, when you would pay it off.
Mm-hmm. Which is on the things going to principal.
And,
like, our loan.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, it does the same.
And they just had I don't know if everybody got it, but the other day, somebody got an alert that said that somebody had broken into that.
Oh, yeah.
They put things through,
yeah.
Like...
So there's real-life scenarios that come in, too. You've had a theft. Is somebody broken in and stolen stuff from your house?
Yeah, it's right here. It says, like, dear participant, we have some bad news for you. When you return to the apartment, you were greeted by your roommates, the landlord, police officer. Police officer is collecting information, mm-hmm. and basically someone came in and took, like, your laptop that you use for work. And in this simulation, everyone has the same job. I don't remember the title, but you kind of work for this website company that is, like, named after the H&R Block thing. And everyone makes the same amount, and everyone gets deducted the same amount for, like, taxes and like, your health insurance and everything. The net income that you get back depends on how much you want to contribute to your 401k. So, I mean, I think I started off with 10%, and then I've been kind of raising it, and you can request to raise your contribution percent. And it goes, the effective date is the next time you get your paycheck. And you can go up to 49%, I think. I can't, because I requested one. And they also have a help desk where if you feel like you're getting fees for something that you don't think you should be, and you would literally write an issue question to say, like, hey, I'm getting deducted for a credit card penalty, but I have under $500. Like, and it kind of also gets you ready to just, for real-world stuff where you have to actually talk to people because you can't just, like, let things slide because it's your money. And I think that this H&R Block Challenge really has... It's helped me in, like, a simulation way where it's not too... I guess it's not too nerve-wracking because, I mean, it's not actual money. But if I didn't have this, or like if I never took this, I feel like I would have been more financially illiterate, as Mr. Engel said. And the same goes for money skill, because I did not know what 401k was, and I feel like that's pretty important. And so it just kind of lays it out for you, and it grades you on your engagement history with it. And the more you check it, the more likely you won't, like, miss a bill or, you know, and you don't even have to check it, like, all the time, just, like, once a day, like, during the afternoon, having a good time, and then again, you get email notifications. So, I think that's all I have.
That's really cool. That's cool. That's awesome.
Do you have any questions for us at all?
What are the, grade, I don't mean, like, grades A, B, C, but what would, seniors or
this is seniors.
Freshmen?
Yeah.
Seniors
yeah.
are taking this class?
Right now it's an elective.
Okay.
There is talk. I personally think the class is probably 90% ready to be able to deliver online. So if a kid couldn't fit it into their schedule, they have other things that they do besides that. I mean, they do a college project, they do a career project, then a college project, excuse me, and they have to present for the class. We have weekly discussions that are a lot of this financial articles that they have to read. But the money skill, we front load a lot of it the first semester. The money skill takes them, we do 3 a week, and it takes a while. And so that by the time we get to scholarship season, they can focus on scholarships. So I was thrilled when I ran across money skill. I almost did the budget challenge last year, but I got notification of it like the day before, and I wasn't ready to launch it. I'm really glad I did it this year. It's been fun listening to the kids deal with real life scenarios,
yeah.
And I'm hoping that it'll reap benefits down the road for them in ways that I wish that I would have known.
Mm-hmm.
I was growing up. So.
So it's a full year class.
Career is a full year class. My vision would be this side of it could be a semester credit that a kid could get, and they could even take it as a junior if they wanted to. It's not exclusive to seniors, although the scholarship side of it is very exclusive
yep.
to seniors. But my vision would be that if were able to launch it, a kid could take this class if they couldn't fit into their schedule and get all this financial literacy just by distance delivery at that point. So. But that's down the road.
Thank you.
Well,
good job. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. They are so ready.
All right, we'll roll right along to student representative report, Mr. Casey Evans.
All right. Well, this year for the canned food drive, we're changing things up a little bit. We're not going to be doing it before Thanksgiving, but before Christmas break. We'll be starting 3 weeks before Christmas break. And it'll last for 2 weeks. And we just figure that's a little better time, give students more time to prepare, more time to talk with other people and get it all sorted out. Going to be doing Heifer International again. But this year we're going to be doing it a little different. I think we're going to try and get more student involvement and possibly have the classes vote on what we want to purchase and where we want to go. Because we've had some complaints about student body not really knowing that it's going on
mm-hmm.
until we give the presentation at the end of the year. And finally, on Friday, December 22nd, the last day of school before Christmas break, the high school students will be participating in a day of community service as a way to give back to the community for all the support that they give us. Students will participate in a variety of service projects from 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock. If there are any organizations in the community that could use students on the 22nd, contact Carly Beyer at the high school office or Ginger Evans at gevans@pcsd.us.
That's cool.
That is a great idea.
That's really
yeah.
good.
Do you guys have anything already lined up and just looking for more? Or?
We don't have anything lined up at the moment, but I'm working on it.
Great. Thank you very much. All right, and correspondence. We did receive one letter from the group at WAVE So to all our friends at Petersburg School District, we could not have pulled off the Let Me Run 5K without your unrelenting support in so many areas. It was a huge success. Thank you all so much. We cannot thank you enough. Love, Elliot Wave. And that was the Let Me Run program that was in the middle school for 4th and 5th grade boys that they ran throughout the fall, and then they finished it with a 5K in very cold weather early in the morning, so it was good for them. All right, any comments from the audience unrelated to the agenda? Any comments from the audience related to agenda items? Any comments from board members? All right, consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Cheryl File. Any discussion? The consent agenda includes October monthly accounting reports, regular meeting minutes from last meeting, and some extra duty contracts for the high school play, an additional class outside of regular hours, National Ocean Science Bowl, and high school assistant boys basketball. Seeing no discussion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And any opposed? Seeing none, we will move on to administrative reports. Superintendent Kluwbanner.
Okay. Thank you. A lot of the things that are actually coming up on the agenda, so I won't spend too much time, and I actually think that Mrs. Tolan and Mr. Dormer have more comments to make about a lot of the things I have on my list, so I won't steal their thunder. Just wanted to say thank you to the board members that were able to go to AASB conference this weekend with me. It was very fun, so welcome Janine to our board, and now I have a server error on here, so... Anyway, okay. I'm sure it's my husband's fault, right? He's not here. I can blame him for something. Anyway, it was a great conference. We're going to talk more about that later. And also just gearing up for some continuing professional development with an effective instruction conference coming up in January that we have some federal professional development money to spend. Seriously? Okay. Anyway. And working through some bugs in our teacher evaluation system, not the teacher evaluation part, but the actual program and system itself. So we're hoping to move to a more robust solution. That's the word we're going to use. We're actually looking forward to it. Yeah, I think that's all I'm going to say. We have lots of other people to talk tonight, so that's
it. All right. Principal's report. This is Terry Toland from the elementary school.
Good evening. It's nice to be here and tell you about some of the things that are going on at Stedman Elementary. We had our in-service for teachers at the end of October. It was a MAP training, which is the test we're doing now that it's measures of academic progress. That's what MAP stands for. And students tested at the beginning of the year, and we had our trainer come in and talk to us about the data that was collected from that and ways that we will use that in the future to drive instruction and help students in specific spots that they need help with. And so it was really good training. Our teachers worked hard, and the trainer commented on what a professional and driven staff we had. It was really nice to hear. We know that, but it's nice to see when other people notice that as well. The elementary school also worked on their health curriculum and are very close to being finished. Also, we had our Red Ribbon Week, which is a drug awareness week, and a big thank you to the student council, Mr. K, for getting some things organized for that, and specifically to Ms. Joyce on getting little program where students got out and planted bulbs, little daffodil bulbs, in the theme of Plant the Promise to be drug-free. So Christina Sargent and Alex Helms also helped with that, and we'll have beautiful daffodils in front of the building next spring to remind students why they did that. As was mentioned, we had the Let Me Run race, and appreciate the community support, and so proud of them for completing the 7-week program. It's a curriculum that breaks down destructive male stereotypes that often stand in the way of positive futures for boys and builds self-esteem and camaraderie. And so we were really happy to see the boys involved with that and look forward to next year. And a big thank you to Alan Malone and the other parents that helped him out. We had our Veterans Day assembly. Our students were very well behaved, and we're proud of them for their behavior, and the student council for speaking. It was a beautiful tribute to those who have served and who are currently serving our country. And it's a good tradition that we've started. So, also, we have our Helping Hand fundraiser for Puerto Rico and Texas hurricane victims. That's going through December, and it's fun to see money trickle in. We've had little girls selling hot chocolate and bringing their pennies and their money in. So student council is spearheading that. And coming up, we have conferences. So Thursday, conference slips will be sent home. Parents can expect to see those. Friday, report cards will be sent home. And then Monday, our conferences go from 3 to 8 o'clock. And then on Tuesday is an early release at 1:15, and conferences will go 1:20 to 8 that evening as well. And one last thing, we have decided to do a Christmas program this December, on December 11th at 10 o'clock. It originally started out as a sing-along for the students, and we had parents each year. More and more parents were coming. We just did not have room. So last year it was evident that we had to do something different. So students will be performing. They will not be in the audience. And so it will be a chance for parents to come and community members and hear students singing, and I'm sure we'll have some drumming and probably some guitars. So I would like everybody to put that on their calendar. That's what's going on. So are there any questions?
What was that date again, Carrie?
That date is December 11th. It's a Monday.
Okay.
At 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thanks.
Right. Principal Dormer from the high school and middle school.
Thank you. Good evening. Yeah, similar things with Terry. Well, I still think it's important to talk about what a great Veterans Day Assembly, and thank you for those who make it, and just so many, as I said, just so many behind-the-scenes work. I know a lot of the teachers prep the kids from all three buildings. Really appreciated the work Matt Lenore did to get the music ready. Of course, Jim Engel, who you just saw here, was really instrumental and kind of led that charge for the whole district, which is great. Terry, of course, is very easy to work with, and I just felt it awesome. I just really appreciated it. Smooth, and so many of our kids on show there. Again, just appreciate our veterans. So really cool. Again, it takes a lot of hands and a lot of people working behind the scenes to make it that smooth. So thanks for everybody for the hard work there. Jim alluded to some things there with just the scheduling, and it's been a big focus. It will continue to be in the high school, especially the high school, middle school, really talking about the scheduling. As you know, we talked to some, and we'll probably have several reports on this. Just it's so tight. We have so many kids doing so many great things, from AP Calculus to getting kids out doing business co-op and working in communities, working in the community and getting credits, and trying to make it all happen is getting so tight and difficult for the kids. We're trying to find ways to flex. I spent about an hour on the phone today with the Seward principal. They've gone before us and been more flexible than we are now in some ways. They're doing it with digital learning. You heard the careers class, so cool. I love what they're doing in there. And I appreciate he's been working on that for a while. Some of you saw last year, we brought the community really came out. We had something in the gym there where the same thing, where the kids are doing that financial scenario, and they're buying TVs and they can't pay their mortgage and all those things they could do for fun now that aren't going to really cost them their credit score later, which is, I love that stuff. But if we can find ways to make like that semester class digital, deliverable, still rigorous, and so kids can get those kind of credits and earn those experiences and still be able to get into choir and take their AP Calc. It's a very complex problem. If I had you know, the magic silver answer. I'd write a book and probably retire, but it's not out there. So we have to figure out what fits for Petersburg. So lots of discussions. We welcome any input that the board has or hears from the community. I suspect we'll be working on it for quite a bit this year just to kind of make small steps to become more flexible. So we had Bill, one of the Wicker brothers was here, who's a big tech leader from Ketchikan, came up about a week ago. So
Bill.
And it was Bill, thank you. And they talked about some of the digital learning they've been doing in Ketchikan and some of the experience he's had over the years. So we're trying to pull in all the experts and find out what's going to work for us. So it's cool, interesting, but you'll probably hear about that, both students and adults in the community and the school. Something else, just to give you maybe more of a heads up, we talked about the MAP testing again, just that's new for the district. And I suspect as you go into conferences, school board may hear that's just something out there. These tests we're doing 3 times a year district-wide. And we'll be giving out results. In fact, freshmen got to look at their results today just to talk about what that test means. Again, it's just so new to us. It's very common in Alaska and especially in the Northwest. But and then in conferences, we're going to go over it with parents as well. So people will be getting some MAP reports. I'm kind of wondering what this test is and what it's about. And again, it's just a third-party assessment that can inform instruction, some of our teachers are using to kind of see where kids' levels are at in language arts and math. So as people see those and come out with papers, and we're doing our very, very best to explain the results and all the units, and we've got, there's a lot of good resources there, but if you hear community, please encourage people to come and ask us questions, because we know it's new, and pretty soon it'll just be something we do to have another piece of the educational puzzle. So. Other exciting stuff going on, we're still looking at that Spanish trip. I know that people are talking about the goal is to go to Puerto Rico, which sounds really great, and I appreciate Ms. Barraza, our Spanish teacher, has been looking at that, and she's been very patient but very thorough working it through educational tours at EF, and they're a really large corporation, and they're well-respected, as well as there's some other groups in Alaska, including Fairbanks, who sends kids through them. So it is probably going to happen, as you might imagine, that Puerto Rico is not a good opportunity, even in June, and we've tried to be patient and look at that, but it sounds like we may shift to Costa Rica. And so which is also a great experience. I think it was a little easier to stay in Puerto Rico, not a state, but a territory of the United States. So going international now makes it a little more complicated, but obviously still a very safe place, and then still, you know, a little more stable now with Puerto Rico still recovering from the hurricane. So that change, I know people have been asking, so the plan is still to have, we're calling it the Spanish trip now, and I do believe we're going to switch to Costa Rica. We've been working with our rep quite a bit, so we hear that. The superintendent has a cool PowerPoint on what the Costa Rica trip would look like. Should you want more information, I think we had to do it now, and I'm not the expert on Costa Rica or Spanish by any means. So there's just, you know, that is something we're working on still. We just want it to be as safe as possible and want to make the best experience for the kids going. They're sure working their tails off to fundraise and to make this happen too, so it's cool. Just a little bit, as we move forward with our SHOP program, you'll see Dave Owens here, I suspect, in a couple months, hopefully doing a presentation. They've been making big steps with the laser engraver, which is really cool, so finding some ways to make some custom Petersburg gear that we can get out there, as well as this being a student project, so they're getting practice in the shop and some of the CAD design programs and laser engraving, some stuff. It's really neat. And then the next step here is the plasma. Am I allowed to talk about the plasma cutter?
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I found a pocket of money. Karen can explain more where the money came from. But there was a pocket there that we could use to buy a plasma cutter, which is similar to what I'm going to get deep into the CNC router does to wood. This can be done onto metal, kind of melting the metal down. It's supposed to be pretty cool. I'm not an expert on plasma. Casey probably knows more. He's smiling at me. He probably knows more than I do as a kind of a local shop expert, but it's going to be cool. And again, another great employable skill that we can teach kids here in the high school year. So it's awesome. And like I said, I bet we'll hear from Dave pretty soon. Conferences are coming up, which is exciting. And again, just invite all the parents, please come in there and see us 4 to 8 on Monday and 3 to 8 on Tuesday. We'd love to meet with our families, talk with parents, grandparents, whatever, come in and talk about the kids and learning. And our teachers will be here with Elsa ready to talk about it. So please come in. And again, if it's not a good time, just call the office and we'll schedule time outside conferences. I know some people say, well, I come in and I can't get to all my teachers. Boy, you know, it just wasn't a good time. But we get that. No time's going to be perfect. So, but we still want to talk with families. So please call and come in, and we'll schedule outside those 2 days if we need to. We're not going to schedule on Thanksgiving. I hope that's okay, but we can find some other times later. No, we can come in, so please. Talking financial things, too. I should have talked on the other one, too. Lots of financial things for adults. We just had our FAFSA last week, which I appreciate Ms. Zetcher helped set that up, and the rep comes down and talks about the student aid application and some tips for parents as they're getting ready. That was last Tuesday, a week from today, a week ago. Today, and then coming in tomorrow morning, Barbara Brown from That's not the Ketchikan. Yes, the Ketchikan Job Center is going to come and talk with our juniors and seniors about getting some financial skills for them and getting ready for college. And then we will have, from the 28th, AGP Financials, Ameriprise Financial, as of Petersburg, I think, through Miss Littleton Connection. Family Connection, right? Did you know the AGP?
I didn't know
you were, yeah. Yeah, we did. Yeah, there you go. Thanks. Introduces, and she wants to come up, and again, just it's not costly thing just to give financial advice to families as well as some of our older students. So some lots of stuff out there, and contact the office if you want to get some information for families, because college is expensive. You know, some of the tech programs are all expensive, and trying to work it out best sense for our kids. That is good for now. A lot going on, and you're going to hear a lot from Mr. Cabral. Any questions for you?
Thank you. Director of Activities Report, Mr. Jamie Cabral.
Board questions. We're done. No, just kidding. We had a lot happening, but since the last meeting, it is now slowed down since having 9 activities going at one time. We had our home basketball tournament. If you got to see that, that was awesome. And then
basketball,
middle school basketball. Yeah, that's awesome. We had 26 boys participating, about 17 wow. girls in basketball, and then 8 girl cheerleaders. So there's also a good number of kids out there. Again, I'll have stats later in the year, so we can keep racking up those kids, getting involved with things. But it was kind of impressive this past weekend. Thursday, we had our last regular season home volleyball game. So we switched from volleyball to Veterans Assembly Friday morning. After the Veterans Assembly, once everyone left, in about 35 minutes, we had 2 wrestling mats down, and the Veterans Assembly moved out, and bleachers moved out. So thanks to the maintenance staff and all the wrestlers and everybody else that helped out, it was impressive to see in about 12-hour span how much switched in our gymnasium in a matter of a couple hours. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. Pretty darn cool on that one. But our swim team was up at Regions. They did a fantastic job there. We had 4 qualify for state. It performed well up there at the state meet. And then we also have our All-State Music kids leaving tomorrow. Evelyn Hart and Jasmine Irimia and Julia Murph are headed off to our state music tomorrow. So they'll be up in Anchorage and representing our school. And then wrestlers heading to Kowak. Flying out tomorrow, and then we are hosting Region 5 volleyball here starting tomorrow. We actually have a team here already, trying to beat the weather, so they will be here in lovely Petersburg for 6 lovely days. So I'll be grateful. So, just lots going on. Kind of the downtime in fall where a lot of things are slowing down, which is just fine for a little bit, and we'll get rolling. So.
Volleyball this weekend.
Volleyball this weekend, yep. Game start Thursday at 4 o'clock. We are seated 1, and we will play at 10:15 on Friday morning versus the winner of Kowak and Metlakatla. And I'll have our bracket will be up and everything real soon, too. So if you're bored, 10:15 Friday morning.
Oh, if you're bored, if you want some excitement.
You know, strategic planning should be at the gym at
10:15. No, we already had like 2 people who were
strategically planning.
Just saying.
Really?
Just saying. You can strategically plan how to pass a volleyball.
We're going to let them leave to watch their kids play.
Awesome.
Sorry.
By the way, that was a cool presentation by the kids. I could see Karen's eyes just going, I knew it. I just like, oh, Karen's
planning, buddy.
Yeah, so we got lots going. And then, oh, goodness. Basketball starts November 30th. And actually, one point to put out there, too. Our middle school kids just got back from Ketchikan. They had fantastic tournament down there in Ketchikan and Metlakatla. Our kids actually got to go over to Metlakatla and play their middle school teams there. Metlakatla hasn't hosted. They didn't have a home weekend all year, so they chartered for us a Alamarine boat down there, and so we got to go over there, and they fed us when we got there and played games, and they had 168 people tuning into the stream at one time, and about rolling through maybe 200 in the building. So their AD was, we were texting back and forth to the games, and he goes, at least 400 going throughout.
That's
the
awesome.
Whole time. And then they got,
I heard that one of them was very exciting right at the end, right? Like it.
Oh, it went overtime with a buzzer beater 3-pointer, and it was, yeah, the place was just rocking. And the text message afterwards was, that was a good game. He's like, all right, anything else? He goes, nope, that's it. It was a good game. Like, all right. But yeah, it was exciting. When Metlakatla was up by 3,
We came down, hit a three-pointer at the buzzer to go into overtime and won in overtime. So it was, our kids did great down there too, so it was awesome. Yeah, the long weekend for them. Thanks to those coaches too, they put in a good time. So that's it. It's got a big agenda. Questions?
I don't have a question, but I have a comment. At the conference, I was sitting at a round table where we were speaking to students, and I happened to have a board member from Wrangell at the same table with me, and we were talking about student support and whatnot, and the Wrangell person piped up and was like, well, you know, we're really trying to get to be more like Petersburg because their teams will stick around and cheer for each other, like the boys and the girls will stay and cheer, and apparently they don't, like the girls play and the boys are off somewhere else. When the boys play, the girls are off somewhere else. So just wanted to say that. I'm sure that you're a part of that, but
that
they're jealous of us down there.
Yeah.
Showing support. That's good.
That's good. It's good to hear them. That's awesome. Kudos to the kids who they do a nice job of supporting each other. And this is an interesting group with our Region 5 with the two-way volleyballs, where all of our teams are kind of interestingly united, even though we got to compete against each other. For example, on the ferry coming back, it was us and Wrangell all together, and they're all teaching each other different languages. So one has Tlingit class, so they're trying to learn Tlingit on the ferry, and they do a pretty good job of trying to teach it. Our girls just can't get the tongue rolled really good. And then one of our girls is fluent in Spanish, so she's trying to teach that girl Spanish, and then we got another one teaching the other one Norwegian, and it was just hilarious just trying to listen to them.
That's
so
cool.
It was pretty cool.
Good use of fairy time.
Yes, very good use of fairy time.
All right, thank you. And Dan Tate, with the Director of Maintenance, is not available to be here tonight, but we have a report. Do you want to recap?
I can give you a recap. An update on working on lots of work going on to the playgrounds, still continuing processes with making things ADA compliant and kind of in phases, working through things this year and then looking to the future. Dan was also able to go up to the AASB maintenance director. They kind of go all in a row. There's their conference and then the school board conference and then the executive assistant conference, and anyway, they kind of roll through everybody. And again, a lot of conversation about safety and playground issues up there. They were pleased with our plans moving forward. A few things that happened up there for us all to be aware of, that State Fire Marshal's office will no longer conduct biannual inspections of school facilities. So that will be something that we'll be needing to deal with the Department of Public Safety. That's kind of coming up. That's kind of a big deal. And then just following Senator McKinnon has a Senate Bill 87, School Construction and Energy Efficiency Standards Bill, relating to some standardizing some options for school construction. So we're headed down the right path with all of that, looking at LED lighting and some of the different things that we're already doing. But, I mean, it makes sense that they would look more closely at offering incentives for that sort of thing, too. So hopefully that will continue. Also still talking about commercial above-ground fuel tanks, which we have one below ground back behind the school, which still has to be dealt with, and then looking at the one that is behind the elementary school, which is relatively new, so shouldn't cause too many issues there. CIP list, the capital improvement project list, we are probably going to get some money, amazingly enough, which made us feel better about continuing to pay each year a certain stipend to Don Hiley, who works through the department, to help us keep that big, fat, thick capital improvement project book that's like 6 inches thick. But we may actually see $78,000 from that, or $76,000, as reimbursement on a boiler project. So that's pretty exciting, actually. And then just continuing with progress on our Viking Cafe over here in the high school. Despite lack of funding from Department of Ed, we just kind of keep gutting our way through it. There's going to be a kitchen in there sometime soon, working through plumbing, we're getting some flooring in. I mean, it just keeps moving forward. So it's pretty exciting, actually. Just keeps going. Rockin' Road ran a sewer line. We're working with Ketchikan Mechanical on Anyway, Dan does a lot of coordinating, is what I will say about that. But it's moving forward, so we're excited about it. Do you guys have any questions for me or anything for me to pass along to Dan?
Did our new bus show up?
It's coming. What did he say yesterday?
End of
November.
Bring that thing back in June. It'll take forever.
Supposed to be here on the 3rd, then the 11th. No, it's
picking you up in it first.
All right.
Sounds good. A big board on the outside.
I think it'd be fun to.
Yep. Coming along. It's going to be good. Anyway, thank you.
Moving on to school board committee reports, curriculum and technology. Sarah Holmgren.
We have not been to any. I don't even know if we've met.
Nope.
Crisis and policy. Cheryl, is there any reports from there? Wellness and facilities. Jay?
I don't have any reports from there.
Legislative reports. Well, we're in a special session, but we're not really in a special session because only one house is meeting right now, but the session won't end because one house is still meeting. So so not really any action on the legislative front. And negotiations, we don't have any negotiations in process right now.
This year. I was going to ask, though, do we know any on a national level about secure rural schools?
I sent that. Did you send your letter?
Yeah, but I didn't know if it. I was trying to look today to see if anything else had happened on it.
No.
Okay.
Do we have any special recognition? I don't think so.
We don't.
All right, so some upcoming dates and meeting announcements. So November 16th and 17th, there will be a strategic planning workshop with Timmy Tullis that will be running all day. We have about a committee of 15 to 17 people who will be meeting. If you would like to get some input there, give some input. There are some surveys out there on the Facebook pages, I think.
Yep, they're out there. And actually, if there really is somebody out there who still hasn't heard us talk about this, if you are interested, people could still give us a call and let us know. We would have room for a couple, three more people if anybody's interested, so let us know.
November 20th and 21st are afternoon and evening conferences for both the high school and middle school and elementary school. The 21st will be an early release for the middle school and high school, or just for the elementary school? Early release. Then there will be no school on the 22nd, 23rd, or 24th of November for the Thanksgiving holiday, 5-day weekend for those kiddos. November 28th, we will set the board agenda at 8:15 a.m. with myself and...
What day is that?
It's a Tuesday.
And we were hoping Sarah Holmgren might be ready, available after... 8:15. If no one else wants to jump on the agenda.
Or Judy might be back.
So Sarah?
Jay can't, probably.
Yeah, I can't if nobody else wants to do it. So.
If you can't do it, I can try, but I'll
have to look at the calendar. Okay, because I'm headed to Colorado.
So we'll pencil Sarah in, and if anyone else has a burning desire to set the board agenda, please let us know.
Step aside and do it another time.
December, I only wrote down one other date. So December 11th, the elementary school will have a Christmas performance. That's a Monday at 10 a.m., and I assume that's in the auditorium. Mm-hmm. Parents are invited to that. December 12th, there will be Campus Connection. Erica and myself will be on the radio, and then that evening is a regular school board meeting at 7 p.m. here at the library. 12:12. All right. Moving on to old business. Board bylaw updates at second and final reading. I'll make a motion to approve the board bylaw updates at second and final reading. That includes AR 9130, committees within the board. BB 9310 policy manual, AR 9311 board policies, BB 9320 meetings, AR 9320 meetings, BB 9322 agenda and meeting materials, and AR 9322 agenda and meeting materials, AR 9323 protocol for addressing the board. Is there a second?
A second.
Second by Cheryl File. Any discussion?
Most of these bylaw updates are cleaning up language. They were changing things like the location of our meeting. We had been meeting in the library, and our bylaws had said we were meeting at the council chamber still. And so a lot of it was just cleanup, nothing really controversial being changed. So any other discussion? All right, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. All right, moving on to board committee appointments. So we'll discuss the reorganization of board committees if anyone wants to leave their committee, and Janine, wherever you would like to jump in and join one of the committees. We have a few standing committees that we serve on, not necessarily regularly. Sometimes they meet only every few months, or even sometimes once a year. So if you find something, or if you know of something that you have a passion for, just go ahead and jump on that committee. Cheryl, will you be staying on crisis?
Unless someone else wants it.
Okay, sounds good.
I heard a yes.
Sarah, curriculum?
If someone would like a chance on curriculum, that's fine with me. Otherwise,
We could talk a little bit about how many, like crisis meets once, maybe twice a year. Usually we try to meet in the fall, reorganize. We're waiting until we finalize. We have an app that we're actually working with through it's called Crisis Go. It's a way of monitoring for attendance and keeping track of kids, but also has protocols in it for sending messages, for sending alerts out. Could even be, anyway, so we just met again this morning about that. So trying to get that fairly set up before we gather the committee, so it's a local committee of like emergency planning people. Once a year we usually meet to just see that we're all doing what we need to be doing and checking in with EMS and fire and police and all that kind of thing too. Curriculum is usually once or twice. There's usually we try to have a work session for the board though too. We've been doing that, which is helpful. I think to do an actual.
Do we
review.
Have something going on? Do we have new
PE
curriculum?
Every year?
Health.
PE health.
PE health.
Sure.
And health, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like they've done
and foreign
some
language,
of the work
sorry.
On the in services. I mean, in the past when it's been a while since I was going consistent. I mean, I guess it was more consistent was a few years ago when you guys were reviewing math.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, I more just went to the meetings and listened because I didn't feel like as a board member, I know we approve the curriculum, but I don't really know what the requirements are for kids on a state level, and it was just more to so at least someone on the board is
yeah.
knows more than just our one work
yeah.
session where it's like, okay, this is what we're gonna,
mm-hmm.
because we're so that's the one thing is it could be more involved if you're going to all,
yeah.
or it can be I guess some of
so
these,
that's an option too. We could
yeah.
always include whichever board member it is when there are meetings during like in-service
yeah,
days or
it's,
whatever. Just
I don't
so
know
you're
if it was
aware.
Like, we were meeting after school then, so maybe
yeah.
it just became easier to do on in-service days, less disruption,
mm-hmm.
Easier to gather that group. I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
Where's that one?
Well, I'd love to come and see some of these meetings. Just because I don't really know what
yeah.
any of these are about, just
mm-hmm.
to jump in and be the person in charge. I don't know anything.
You don't have to be.
Well, yeah,
no, you're just on committee. You don't have to run it. No, you're not right.
You just attend.
Oh, okay.
And just sit there.
Yeah.
You don't just
sit there.
You certainly participate.
Cheryl.
You sit there. Just actively listen. You do. You actively listen. Yes.
Okay, well, instead of going through each one, is there anyone on the board that wants to drop one of the committees that they're currently on?
On the wellness one, they usually have the meetings when I can't attend.
I know, it's the
okay.
times that are hard
like,
for you. Right?
So I don't know if I had to be off that one because I can't make it to any of the meetings.
When is it?
They usually have them 2 or 3 afternoons,
after school, like
3:15, during the school day,
something
usually.
Like that. Usually last about an hour. There's a couple 3 a year.
It's a good committee to be on. I just...
Yes,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I know what
you're never there.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, so that might be
sure,
you might be interested
sure,
in Janine.
Be on the wellness.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Do we have negotiations this year?
We do.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, certified
okay.
this year.
Okay.
So I think Jay and
it was
Cheryl.
We did. Jay and I did it.
The last time?
Cheryl and I were on the last one.
And
no, Meg and I were on the last one.
Jay and I did one too.
2 years ago, I think.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, because you've got classified and certified
and
on
classified.
Separate years.
We did certified.
That's right.
Jay and I did
they're
certified.
Off every year.
So.
Yeah. So it's really a,
whatever.
How you guys want to?
I'm fine being on it.
Okay.
JV, care to be on it?
I don't care to be on that one, but I will if nobody else wants to.
Well, I'll do it if. That's fine. I can do it.
So Cheryl and Mara and
Cheryl and Mara.
Mm-hmm.
Negotiations.
Okay. Any other ones before we close discussion?
And if, I would think, you know, if someone feels in the middle of the year they can't commit to something, we can always shuffle again. It's
absolutely.
We can change committees.
And when there's only one, anybody else can always come. Like, even if you were saying, you know, because you can always have two people.
Mm-hmm. You can have three.
Yeah, so like policy or something like that, or curriculum, you know, something that you might want to just go and let me know what it's like.
Yeah.
You know,
policy, it just lets you, that's kind of cool, we do that, or that's how we do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or, we should change it.
Yeah, or, hey, I have this input. We need to change that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a good one, too. So we can just make sure you, we try
just
to
let
make
me know
sure
when,
people know what's happening, and you could say, yep, I'd like to go, and we can do that.
Okay. So we'll move on to new business, 14.1, fiscal year 18 grant awards acceptance. I will make a motion to accept the grant awards. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, so discussion, Superintendent Clute Painter and Director of Finance, Karen Quitzlin, please provide us with an overview of the grant awards.
Okay, shall I start?
Go for it.
So I'm going to actually kind of chunk some of these grants together because that's the way they're actually funded in the programming that we do. So Erica does most of the writing of the programming, and I do most of the budgets, and we make sure that they align with what we're actually saying we're doing. This year, we actually made a lot of changes to the first three grants. That's the consolidated grant. It's Title 1A, which is our targeted reading program, Title 1C, which is the migrant program, and Title 2A is a professional development program. When you're looking at Title 1A and Title 2A, those two are kind of put together because what we did this year that we've not done previously is we actually took some of the funds out of Title 2A and moved them into Title 1A. And the reason why we did this is our targeted reading program, and because federal funding has gone down the last few years, that program actually, there's not enough funds in that program to cover what the program is doing district-wide. So we learned through working with the Department of Ed that we could actually move some of our funds from Title 2A into that program and basically leverage the program in a better way. So we Title 2A, which is the third one down, has $6,121. We reaped about $20,000 into Title 1A. Reap means we move those funds. What Title 2A does fund is it funds professional development. So the ASTE conference that our technology people go to and our teachers, that's what that program funds. I'm going to skip up to the top one, which is Title 1A. And Erica, do you want to talk about what that program looks like a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Title 1 is typically our reading support in the elementary school. And that's this year, right now, that's Miss Wormack who's teaching Title I. So she does small group instruction and support for students who are struggling with reading. So that's part of her job there.
And reading callback for
kindergarten. Yep, our kindergarten teachers, their afternoons that are spent with callback with kindergarten and first grade readers. Yep, thank you.
Yeah, so and we have one paraprofessional that just does small reading groups as well that's funded. A portion of her salaries are funded.
Yes, and we were able to actually add some funding into her this year because we moved those.
Last year we didn't have enough funds to cover that, so that was funded through the general fund.
Yeah.
So the grant amount for our Title 1A is $96,650. And I'd also like to point out that we received a new grant this year in the consolidated grant program. It's Title 4, and we actually took all of those funds and moved them into Title 1 as well.
It took some smaller pots of money and combined them into one big pot.
Okay.
To be more efficient dealing with the federal government.
It's more efficient. It's actually what we're doing, and it's less
more accurate
reporting for me.
Okay.
So it's great all the way around.
It's good.
Our Title 1C, which is the migrant program, that really did grow 233%. And I'll let Erica talk about some of the great things that we have implemented into this program.
The migrant program is historically a difficult one for us to be honest, to spend, because it's the program that's based on how much kids are fishing or logging. It's based on transient students and that sort of thing. And it really is based more for students who, it's not necessarily based for students in Alaska, to be honest. It's really more about students who are maybe more migrant workers in the South, maybe moving around doing transient work that way. So here, it's difficult because a lot of the things that you can, it's very specific. You can only use money for very specific things, and it has to be used for any, it has to be that you're proving that you're providing support for students above and beyond whatever anybody else would normally get during the school day. So typically you might spend it on, look to spend it on maybe tutoring for students or extra services that way. A lot of our migrant students are not kids who necessarily need tutoring because they're actually kids who are working on the fishing boats. They are making a good wage, they're doing pretty well in school, so it doesn't really fit. One of the things that you can use it for is to help kids figure out what they want to do with their lives. So if they want post-secondary work, whether it's training, whether it's college, and it's helping provide support, could be guidance counseling support, could be helping them travel places to figure out what they really do want to do, that sort of thing. So we're actually kind of springboarding off of the AvTech trip that Cindy Fry and Bridget took kids on last year, looking at actually trying to help kids if they're really serious about wanting to do, whether it's vocational training, especially if their kid's interested in the marine industry in some way, fishing or whatever that might be, diesel mechanics, welding, trying to get kids out to see what that might look like, whether it's other programs, certifications, that kind of thing. So money for that, for travel, and also for the plasma cutter that Mr. Dormer was referring to. We're going to start, and actually it's going to be a class. It'll be after school, and it can only be offered again to migrant students, but we still have access to the plasma cutter. So it's ways of trying to figure out ways that are really useful for things that are in our own community and helping our kids learn skills that they can use here. But it's interesting. It's the one that has grown 233% increase. Everything else is, you know, small little pots that you move together. So anyway, it's exciting, though.
It's very
they were
exciting.
Actually really impressed. We figured out ways to do it. So, yeah, it's good. We're excited about it.
So that grant award is $104,713. To be honest, we haven't allocated all of it, but we have allocated most of it. So most of it's written into our budget. There's maybe $3,000 or $4,000 that we haven't been able to find a way to use.
Mm-hmm.
So well, as the program gets going and as we buy the plasma cutter, we'll kind of reassess, can we reallocate those funds into supplies for the plasma cutter? So we spent a long time actually working on these grants and just really trying to clean them up. They do have some impact on the general fund because like Title IIA, we had $20,000 of a position originally built into that. So when we do the budget revision, which ties perfectly in with this, that's where the changes are, some of the changes are in the revision. So the next two grants are Title 6B for $138,526, that's the award, and Preschool 619 for $1,272. Those are grants that help with our special ed program. And so what's funded through Title 6B is 50% of our special ed directors funded through there and all the benefits that go with the salaries. And our CERT contract for OT and PT services, and then teaching supplies are also built into that. This grant, we can actually carry funds forward, so we do try to be conservative with it and always carry something forward, especially because we've been anticipating the last few years that funding from the state and our general fund is going to be tighter. So we're always planning ahead, what can we save in Title 6B? And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we go to the budget revision. Preschool 619, I was very surprised how much that went down. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of money to begin with, but we actually did fund a portion of one of our preschool, one of our SPED people, our SPED teachers. We funded a small portion of her through this grant, and we had to change that and put that into the general fund because it's only $1,200. The next grant we have is Suicide Awareness Prevention and Postvention That's $26,360. This is a recurring grant that we've had for probably at least the last 4 or 5 years.
Because you guys rewrote it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this grant covers Petersburg Mental Health and also True North Counseling coming in and helping with our kids. It also supports the Green Dot program. We have a reading library for teachers for parents and students. Mm-hmm. Supplies that basically will support anything that has to do with building kids' self-esteem and preventing suicide, or just becoming more aware of it. The Healthy Living Grant, $85,000. This is the sixth year or the seventh year that we're on this one.
Six?
I think it's the sixth because they did one more year. So this is the final year for the Healthy Living Grant.
Could be.
Do you think it's seven?
I don't know, they keep adding a year.
Anyways, it's a recurring grant. I mean, it originally started at $170,000, and then the state had less funding for it, so then they cut it in half, but they've given us an additional year for it. This funds half of Ginger Evans' position, who is the Healthy Living Grant Coordinator and pretty much the director of the program. It also supports a lot of the community-wide and school-based wellness things that we see. It supported that run that just recently happened. Lots of things. It's not just related to the school, it's related to the community as well. Mm-hmm. Title VII is our Indian Education Program. That's $36,683. That funds a very small portion of Rachel Etcher and Jamie Cabral that work specifically with students that are Native, so that they are making sure that they're getting a little bit extra support and staying into school, or if there's some needs that they have. It also focuses on some cultural activities as well. That is another recurring grant that we've gotten for the last 4 or 5 years. Secure Rural Schools, this is a professional development grant. It's for $12,701. And this is the grant that we are sending a team of teachers to the
Effective Instruction.
Effective Instruction. And so we're able to use this grant for anything that's going to enhance our teachers' education impact. So that's a great grant that we never know if we're going to get and are always pleasantly surprised when we get it.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Perkins is our VocTech grant. This also flows from the state of Alaska. It says it's $15,000 right now, and usually what they do is they actually give a second allotment, so usually we get $18,000 per year, and that funds aquaculture, portions of aquaculture, VocTech, Marine Fab, is that the one?
Aquaculture,
culinary.
Culinary.
Yeah. Aquaculture, culinary, shop, mostly metals and woods.
Metals and woods, okay. And that helps buy supplies. Now, it's not for consumables. It won't purchase anything that the kids are taking home with them. So it's really for instruction.
Mm-hmm.
But it is for materials or even equipment. We have purchased equipment with it. So those are the grant awards. Do you guys have any questions? Erica, do you want to talk about any more programming?
Nope, I don't think so.
Are we pretty sure the Healthy Living Grant's going away next year, or is there a chance we'll have it?
It's hard to say.
I think this is it, but we've said that. So that will be a budgeting issue for us as well, because that means that position will be coming back into the general fund, the other half of Ginger. So, yeah, she's done a great job with it. Thank you.
Yep.
You get to stay, I think.
Yeah. Well, I thought I would just watch you all.
Watch as well.
Throw another tab.
All right. Any discussions before we close? So the motion is to accept the fiscal year 18 grant awards. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Say nay. Your motion passes. We have accepted them. Thank you for all your hard work on working towards getting those grants. It's nice to see those extra pots of money, but it does require a lot of work. All right, so moving on to fiscal year 18 fall budget revision. So we generally revise the budget in the fall and the spring. So I move to accept the changes for the fiscal year 18 fall budget revision as proposed by Karen Quicksand. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Karen, take it.
Okay, I created a very, very short PowerPoint presentation.
Which
this
I can't
is a visual. And let's see if Erica can.
I tell you, I don't know what's going on. See, it's the cobbler. It's the cobbler's. What is that? The cobbler's shoot, right? The person that loves it.
So if you hadn't approved the grant awards, this would have looked very different. And I wouldn't have had a backup plan. I will say that this is such a minimal budget revision that if I had worked on it last week, we might not have presented it because the ultimate change is about $69,000. So if Erica can't pull it up, we'll just wing it. This is the actual form that you guys are going to be voting on. Did you hear me?
What?
Yeah.
The teacher.
This is the form that we're going to be voting on. Okay.
We brought hard copies of this.
Yeah, there are hard copies. Everybody has a hard copy.
We got it. We're on it. We're good.
What do you think? It's going to come out.
It's just funny.
Sorry, you guys change the state source, so you don't get to see all of the visuals.
If these are the things that stress us out, these can have the things that stress us out.
All right, should I just go on?
Yep. Okay.
So I will actually just go over this form, and maybe if we can get to the PowerPoint, that's great, because there's
coming.
Other information in the PowerPoint. It's coming. Okay. So I am proposing that we increase revenue by $62,729. So we actually did our projections for the budget for fiscal 18 way back in the spring, and the things that we took into consideration was we projected on 479 students,
right.
And we actually came in at 465, so we're 14 down. The other part that is a factor in this is when we originally approved the budget in the spring, we took into consideration a 2.5% reduction in our foundation funding. So with the funding coming in flat, but then the reduction in students, we end up with a net of $62,729. So that is what I'm proposing for our increase in revenue. So going from $8,541,822 to $8,604,551. So do you want to go to a enrollment? So this slide here just gives you an idea of what our enrollment trends are looking like. We have had a lot of years of decreases, some major ones, 12% in fiscal year 12, and then we've had some smaller years of increases. So we're down 1% from the previous year, from fiscal year 17. We had 469 students, almost 470, and this year we're down to 465. The thing I would like to point out is what we're projecting for fiscal year 19 is 449. So we are going to see another drop in students.
Before it moves back up.
Yes.
And that's because the incoming kindergarten class is projected to be
28.
Yes, lower, but then in 2020, aren't we expecting a jump?
A big senior class.
A jump again.
Oh. Yeah, we're losing 44, we're bringing in 28.
Holy cow, 44?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Seniors? It's a big class.
So this, I just want this on the radar because this is all obviously going to become very important as we start to talk about next year's budget. So some of the process that goes through as we're looking at a budget revision is for the fall one, we're looking at what our projected student count was and then what we actually came in. So we're down 13.6 students. And again, I talked already a little bit about the foundation funding impact. We had projected a 2.5% reduction in foundation funding. It actually came in flat, but we were had a reduction in students. So it really is a minimal change in our revenue. Expenses, some of the process that we go through and we look at is what, this is really true this year, what was funded through grants previously, and then we have to make those adjustments. There was a lot of things that were previously funded through a grant that we actually had to pull back into the general fund. There was a couple of different positions, like I explained earlier, we had somebody in Title 2A, and then we had a small amount in SPED that were position funding, they were salaries. We had to move those back into the general fund. We also had some supplies and materials that we kind of realized as we were writing the consolidated grant, they were not above and beyond what's being offered to others, to being offered to other students or to the students in the program. So we could no longer fund those through the grant. So those have moved back into the general fund. And then I'm always looking at the funding codes, where things are funded, and there's always some expenditures that I forget about because it's an $8 million budget. I don't have all of it memorized. I have 75% of it.
What?
I know you're surprised. I'm sorry.
Very surprised.
So minimal increases for expenditures, and we'll go over those when we get to the last page. Also, just wanted to share with you guys our current staffing. We have 41 certified teachers. That includes our regular instruction teachers, our special ed teachers, our counselors, librarians, our special ed director, our technology director, and our activities director. We have 34 paraprofessionals. These are actually the number of people that work at the school district. We have 19 classroom aides. They do, for most of our aides, they do some regular instruction and they do some special ed instruction. So that's why it's written that way. And then we have one that offers tutoring services. We have one technology assistant, 4 secretaries, 1 accounts payable payroll clerk, 6 custodial and maintenance staff, and 3 food service aides. We have 7 exempts. This includes the superintendent, the principals, the finance director, maintenance director, and food service director. And why we are exempt is because we're not part of either negotiated agreement, because we're directors, or we're part of the negotiation process. So just wanted to provide a little more information there. So I have the red arrow there on our beginning fund balance. That will be adjusted once we get our financials completely done and approved. I'd like to use our actual financials as our number. So this is still the number that we had presented way back in the spring as our beginning fund balance of $877,000. Again, I have an increase in revenue from the state source, which is directly the foundation formula, of $62,729. When we're looking at the expenditure side of it, I've got $20,000 increase in regular instruction. This mostly comprises of Fast Forward, which is no longer being grant funded. Only a portion of it was being grant funded, but we're pulling the whole amount back into the general fund. And then the new program MAPS is also being funded in that. So that's the $20,000 plus a little bit of an increase for migrant travel. This is challenging because we have to put migrant travel on the expenditure side even though we receive revenue from it. So a couple of these items on our expenditure side we actually received money for, but the money's already been accounted for in the initial budget. So we have a $8,000 increase in unemployment claims. The way the school district pays unemployment is we don't pay it through payroll. We pay it as somebody puts in a claim, and we've had a couple of high claims in the last couple of months. So the increase of $20,000 for regular instruction, so that the total would be $3,811,395. No change in special education. That $6,000 that I was telling you, that's no longer being grant funded. We have enough wiggle room in our substitutes and our aides budgets to absorb that at this point. Of course, we'll reevaluate that in the spring as we get a little bit closer to what our actual costs are. a decrease in support services students of $12,000. That is Rachel Etcher's, that's actually grant funded, so a small decrease in salaries there. So $297,071. $350 is support services instruction. That's our librarian and our technology budget. And the increases are actually $20,000 for purchase services. That's PowerSchool and Canvas. $4,000 for our laptop insurance. And $15,000 increase in our salaries. Because remember, I was telling you that a portion of John was funded through Title IIA. It's now, we have to move it back into the general fund. So that would be $651,162. No change to school administration, $328,164. An increase in school administration support services. As I'm looking through the budget and where things have been previously funded, I'm trying to streamline a few things. This $15,400 is our voice over IP services. So right now we're paying for two phone services until we totally transition into the voice over IP. And this one I just overlooked, the cost of that. So $249,963. And the rest remains the same. Would you like me to read them?
No.
No? Okay. So a total increase in our expenditures of $62,400 is what I'm proposing to the board. So our ending fund balance ends up, what, a couple hundred dollars higher than it was when we initially...
Not bad, Karen. Not bad.
...initially approved the budget. So expenditures, total expenditures, $8,639,313. And an ending fund balance of $842,554.
Which is the maximum amount we can pay over.
Pretty close. I mean, we're capped still at the 10%. We no longer have the 72% being required for direct instruction. They got rid of that last year. Mm-hmm. But we always want to carry our maximum fund balance forward that we can. And the other thing I do want to point out is with this budget, we have no transfers out. So we have no transfers to food service. We have no transfers to transportation, which we have previously done. I'm hoping that we might be able to do, if our ending fund balance, we're going to carry the maximum forward from year to year, but if we have anything that we can transfer out, those would be the two areas, or ADA, because we've got a lot of ADA compliance things that we need to address. Okay. So yeah. Those are my recommendations.
Okay.
Questions?
All right. Cool.
I'll go to the last slide.
All right.
Thank
so
you, Karen.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
The motion.
Okay, great.
The motion is to approve the fiscal year 18 fall budget revision as presented. And because we are spending money, this will be a voice vote. So, Irene, please take the roll.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Janine Gibbons?
Yes.
Mara Lutomsky?
Yes.
And Casey Evans is not here.
Thank you, Karen, for keeping us fiscally sound from year to year.
Appreciate
it's great, greatly appreciated.
Thanks, I really like it.
All right, moving on, we have a few personnel hires that are on the agenda. I will make a motion to approve the personnel hire of Anna Thompson as temporary special education instructional assistant. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion? She's working in which school?
Elementary. In the PILP. In the alternative program with Cindy in the afternoon.
And her temporary hire lasts till when?
Christmas.
Okay. All right. Any questions or discussion? All right. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. All right. Motion passes. So I also make a motion to approve the personnel hire of Kathleen Gilpin as part-time payroll and accounts payable specialists. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Cheryl File. Any discussion? She's
She is helping out in the district office.
Yep.
She's on a part-time, flexible basis.
Yep. Working between 15 and 20 hours, a reduction from the former position, and providing support in those areas in the financial office.
Any other questions or discussion? All right, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. All right, motion passes. All right, we'll move on to 14.4, the Association of Alaska School Boards Conference Report. So Superintendent Clute Painter and myself, Mara Lutomsky, and Cheryl File and Janine Gibbons, we all attended the 64th annual AASB conference in Anchorage this past weekend. And we'll provide a short summary of what we brought back with us. It was very beneficial to go and see what's going on with all of the other school districts in Alaska, to recognize, you know, how grateful we are, how our school district is set up, and then also see practices that are in place in other school districts, and see how we can improve as a board and our contribution to the school district as well. Do you want to share anything, Cheryl or Janine or Erica?
Well, there's a lot. And I think you have to listen and then write stuff down, and you listen and you miss half the stuff. But it was actually pretty good. I was trying to put my notes together, but it didn't happen very well today.
They look great.
Yeah. I got a lot of doodles. I was trying to find this one that we went to. It was a... So there was one thing, we had round tables and we met people. They talked about a mentor program of grandparents or old, adults 55 and over coming in and mentor program, and they even get a stipend for it, but they do go through a background check and everything else, and they also get a little bit of training. And that's, I brought some information back. I thought it was kind of interesting. And let's see what else. There was also Alaska Housing. I'm sure that Erica probably already knows about it. This guy from Alaska Housing was talking about for schools on things you can do. It says that all of, he had a thing of what every school spends every year in utilities and stuff, and he said $80 million all the schools in Alaska spend. And there was one guy next to me, oh, we spend, I can't remember what he said, but it was like, oh my gosh, a month. I was like, I don't think we spend that much. But he gave me five that we need to like kind of ask ourselves. But I learned more about kids too, I'm sorry. It's like, number one, where can we create efficiency? Mm-hmm. Number two, we get create a staffing energy maintenance plan, and just and some interesting stuff. And supposedly we can get a grant or some kind of $10,000 thing for energy, even though we've done a whole bunch. Energy Efficiency Kickstarter Comprehensive Awards, and you can get a maximum of $10,000 for the facility. I don't know if we'd qualify. It was kind of neat. I mean, you go to these tables and you only have like 15 minutes and everyone else is talking, but it's kind of cool. And then I went to this one about trauma, and I thought it was going to be something else. I thought it would be more beneficial for teachers, mm-hmm. because I really don't, as a board member, don't interact with kids mm-hmm. as much as I used to. But I was talking about brain responses and... about traumatic stress, mm-hmm. and they've been pulled so many ways, and we have no idea what that kid went through before they walked in that door.
Yeah.
And then you expect him to do this and this, and it's kind of like that flight response they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, us, it doesn't take us long to calm down. Them, it takes up to 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really kind of interesting. He is the head of Alaska My notes are just a mess. But it was just interesting. Yeah.
There's so much research.
There, it was so
audience.
Much.
Yeah.
And it's hard to write everything down.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, it was just crazy. But it was cool. And we had to sit in around this big section. And it was, yeah. It just kind of got out a little, like comfort
zone.
Yeah. And then we went to some other round tables and the students were involved. And you had to ask these questions. You get up and you meet people you don't know.
She did very well.
And I was at this one table with all these people from Upper Kuskokwim, I mean, all these guys, and of course they wouldn't talk. I had to ask talk, and that's not me. Like, okay, well, what do you think? That's not me. We had to ask these questions. Why do you work with youth? You have five questions, you have 5 minutes, 1 minute per question. And then it was just kind of cool. And then, if you could change one thing in your country, what would it be? This is what is a place you've never been that you'd like to visit? These are like questions when you meet somebody.
Mm-hmm. Conversation starters.
Yeah. And he said, write this question down and keep it in your pocket. It was just kind of cool. And then you have to talk to these kids too. And it was, I just had something to say and I forgot. But it was actually pretty good, and sometimes you don't get much, but sometimes you just get a little bit. And I, this one that really, it was in the first day that I was there, they were talking, that it was in the trauma one, it said, each kid, each person in a chair is a leader. It doesn't matter who you are, you're a leader. That kid could be a leader of their household. It was just kind of neat. It's like, everyone in here is a leader, and that's how you should start.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of cool. I wanted to take a picture of all the 7 points, but I didn't.
You were just listening.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's probably
so,
on the app.
But it's probably, no, it's not on the app. That's the problem. But I learned a lot, and I'm sure there's so much more that I learned that I can't tell you because it's in these notes all scritchy scratchy. And I tried to prioritize, but it didn't work. And I tried to put it on here, but anyway.
No,
but I learned a lot this year, and so hopefully I'll go back next year.
That's good.
And maybe sometime I'll actually be able to tell you what I did. Really.
You did.
Ginny, do you have anything that you brought back from the conference that was any highlights?
Yeah, it was fascinating for my first time there. I spent a couple of days sitting with a bunch of the elders, Yupik elders. And kind of got just really, you know, great advice. Some of those men that I had spent time with had been on the school board for 30, 40 years. And it was kind of fascinating mm-hmm. to kind of hear about their experiences being Alaskans and then also mm-hmm. being, you know, well, for them, some of them leaders in their community. And it really related back to, we'd had a speaker, Zaretta Hammond, mm-hmm. I think that was her name,
mm-hmm.
and she was a speaker, and then she also did a round table and was talking about culturally responsive teaching and training, and talking about how, of course, you can have like all the kids that are really smart up at the top doing great, but if you got a whole bunch of kids at the bottom, they're always at the bottom, there's a real issue here. So we have to start, you know, and think, why are these kids at the bottom and how can we lift them up? And part of that is my own, I can relate with my own ability, like how I learn things, because I always have to be kind of moving around and it's really hard for me to sit still for a long time. And my son's the same way, and he's in the 99th percentile in Colorado, so I know that for him, he's like, because he's in school there right now, and he has a hard time, but he just needs to move around, and so I could see the real benefit of like singing and dancing and things that kind of like every so often, like you just integrate that into all of the classes, because then it gets your body moving and your mind moving, and you know, we like integrating our culture into our teaching as well, so that it's relevant for whatever we're learning about is relevant to the community and the people around us, so that there's context to whatever
whatever we're learning about, and just making it fun and interactive and being able to move our bodies and listen to music and do, I like to integrate that into all parts. And so for me, in the way that I learn, it really resonated, and so I could see how it would resonate for all kids, really. I mean, because we all love to sing and dance, and, you know, and it definitely makes math a lot more interesting, so...
Yep,
she was a great speaker.
And she was great, yeah. It was great to just to have that experience, and then also just to see how many, you know, all the different school districts and all the different, you know, just the different issues that relate to different parts of Alaska, because I think sometimes we forget. We're, like, down here in this corner of Alaska, and Alaska is massive, you know, and so it's interesting to hear some of the challenges that people have, you know, that, you know, don't have flight service or, you know, have to, you know, take a, you know, four-wheeler or wait for the ice to freeze or, you know, there's a lot of different issues that we don't have, but we're all still connected by being Alaskans. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just really fascinating. So it was really great to connect with so many people. And then to also listen to the native kids from the different villages coming in and singing and dancing, and it would be fun to bring up some Norwegian dancers maybe sometime.
Ah.
And
yeah,
you know,
kinds of culture. Yeah, it's fun.
You know, so anyway, yeah, it was great and definitely worth it to go up there and be part of that.
Yeah, it was fun. Nope, I don't need to add anything else.
Do you want to have anything?
Nope,
yep.
Thank you.
So yes, it's an investment that we make in ourselves and the board for us to go up there and to take part in those learnings and bring back, just lets us know, tunes us in a little bit more as board members about what our schools all across the state are going through and not just in our own corner of the world. Mm-hmm. All right, any additional comments from board members? Any future agenda items?
A ukulele band.
A ukulele band.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Right.
Did you see that?
So cool.
Did we send that to? Yeah.
East High in Anchorage, which is one of the most diverse schools in the nation, we heard that statistic, had a full ukulele band and had several rows of ukulele students.
It was
they
awesome, Mr.
Whole,
Cabral.
It was cool.
They filled
yeah.
the whole stage.
Yeah.
It was very interesting.
We thought Mr. Sullivan needed to bring up Little Kids Rock Kids. You would have loved it.
It's fun.
They performed the principal's conference a year ago there.
Oh, did they?
Aren't they fun?
Oh.
Yeah, they were really fun. It was fun.
I feel like ukulele would be really relevant to any life situation. Like if you just pulled out a ukulele.
All right, so I make a motion that we adjourn at 8:44 p.m. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
I'm saying aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.
This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, offering asset protection and security through insurance. Home, auto, boat, life. Information from a real live person who's in the same phone book as you. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance at 772-3858.